Welcome back to our study of Exodus. We are in chapter 21, and we're going to pick up this evening with verse 12. Verse 12 of chapter 21. He that smiteth a man so that he die shall be surely put to death. Okay.
Okay.
Letter L.
If you actually, if you just follow this, you'll find that this is the law that rules the nation. And so God set up capital punishment. Okay? And I'm not a warmonger, don't get me wrong. But here's the whole rationale behind this. If you make the punishment more severe than the crime, you stop the crime. You understand they didn't have overcrowded jails. And severe punishment was a deterrent. And so he makes this thing very simple, that if a person hits another person and kills him, then put him to death, execute him. It didn't say give him life in prison. It didn't say, you know, let him make appeals and all this kind of stuff. The bottom line, the ruling was the ruling. Okay?
And before we go on, seems like a good time to mention this. And y'all understand that this is the Word of God that's coming forth, that's bringing these statutes and these ordinances. This isn't Moses making these things up. And so we've got a couple things we want to make sure that you truly understand, because you're going to see them on your test. And the first one is that the Constitution for the nation of Israel was given to Moses by God. And the key word you're going to want to remember is Constitution. And everything we're reading about here makes up this Constitution. All these civil laws that we're currently reading about right now, that's part of the Constitution.
It's the governing law. A lot of times people think just in terms of Ten Commandments. God spoke the Ten Commandments. But he had Moses to write in a book all these laws that dealt with your civil laws, your sanitary laws, your dietary laws, all these things God gave to Moses. It didn't take 40 days and 40 nights to get 10 commandments. He had a lot of other instruction that he was given. And these laws that he was given was to govern the nation. Now, I use the word constitution because that's generally the paperwork or whatever that governs a nation, governs a business, a church, or whatever, constitution and bylaws, you understand? And so this is what God is giving Moses. You could say that the Ten Commandments are sort of like the Articles of Incorporation. These are just the main things right here. And everything else is going to stem out from under that. But there are many laws to govern people. You must have civil laws. You understand? Now, here are the laws for the righteous person, not for the unrighteous. But how many of you know that there are unrighteous people in every society, even in Moses' day? Okay? And there's necessary laws concerning sanitary laws to keep the people clean, to keep the people healthy. There's so much to all this. And God, you know, sort of details this out as we go through the book of Exodus. You look in Leviticus, and then he really gets into detail on the Levitical law. Okay? But these are governing the entire nation. And so he has to set these rules out, these laws, and not just put them on paper, but enforce them. A law is of no value unless it's enforced. And so you'll find that there were judges set. They were to hear the case. You know, I think we've already read how, you know, thousands, hundreds, mm-hmm. fifties, tens,
mm-hmm.
the death row principle that we talked about.
Then
whatever these judges say, they're actually teaching the statutes of the law. And this is called the law of Moses. And so not only are they teaching it, but you see them executing these laws as you go through the history of Israel, how these, when Israel was following God, then these laws were executed. When they weren't following God, they ignored the laws. And it was always to their consequence.
The other thing I want to point out that you're going to find on your test, and we're in chapter 21 right now, but you're going to see that we'll continue talking about civil laws as we read in chapter 22. So chapters 21 and 22 of Exodus teach that God is interested in civil laws. And your key word there is civil.
This is some of that reading that people like to just pass on over and go to another page. But there's principle involved in all this.
Yeah. So capital punishment. In verse 13... And if a man lie not in wait, but God deliver him into his hand, then I will appoint thee a place whither he shall be, where he shall flee.
So if a person hit another person and killed him, he's to be put to death because there's malicious intent. Okay, But when you come down to self, to where a person did not intend to kill another person, accidental killing. You understand? You work it with somebody and they're accidentally killed. Then there was a protocol that had to be followed. That person who was responsible for the death of the other person, although he didn't mean to kill him, a city of refuge was provided. He had to flee to that city of refuge. Now, if he did not follow protocol, he was open game.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about the revenger or avenger of blood here in a few minutes. And so he had to follow the protocol. So even though he did not intentionally kill a person, he had to flee to this city of refuge to protect himself from being killed by the avenger of blood, who was a blood relative of the one killed. Now, this is an interesting thing. Now, this is God's law, not man's. And so God had this set up. If you killed this person, then his relative killed you. For shedding the blood, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But intentional, you die. Unintentional, you could flee to the city of refuge. Now, I'll fast forward a little ahead, but you had to stay in that city of refuge. They had to hear and make sure that you didn't intentionally kill. Then if that's the ruling, you had to stay there until the high priest died. Even though it was ruled that you didn't intentionally kill him, if you leave that city before the high priest dies and that next of kin sees you, he can kill you and not be responsible for your death. That makes sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Serious.
That's how God set it up.
Mm-hmm. Verse 14, but if a man come presumptuously unto his neighbor to slay him with guile, thou shalt take him from my altar that he may die.
So if a man who intentionally murdered somebody went to the city of refuge, then the judges of that city would turn him over to be slain by the avenger of blood.
Then verse 15, and he that smiteth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death.
Buddy, God is serious about that commandment, honoring your father and your mother,
mm-hmm.
that you may live long on earth. You hit your father or your mother, it was a death penalty. I tell you what, there'd be a lot of them dying today, wouldn't it?
And he that stealeth a man and selleth him, or if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death.
Kidnapping carried the death penalty. That's what that is. You understand?
Mm-hmm. And he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death.
Now, the King James Version says curse, but if you look at it, it's actually saying one who mocks his father and mother put him to death. You want to scorn and make light of your father and mother? And put him to death. He's not submitting to the authority that God's placed over him.
And if men strive together, and one smites another with a stone or with his fist, and he die not, but keepeth his bed, if he rise again and walk abroad on his staff, then shall he that smote him be quit. Only he shall pay for the loss of his time, and shall cause him to be thoroughly healed.
These are civil laws, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if two men get in a fight, and one of them inflicts injury on another one, it doesn't kill him, then he has to compensate for whatever medical expense might be incurred by that injury that he gave to that guy, and he has to compensate that guy. You know, if he's out of work, he's going to have to take care of him. That was the insurance of the day.
Yeah. And if a man smite his servant or his maid with a rod, and he die under his hand, he shall be surely punished. Notwithstanding, if he continue a day or two, he shall not be punished, for he is his money.
Now, people cringe at all this, but slavery was acceptable. They go in, they defeat people in war, and the people that are not killed, then they buy them as slaves, or they can buy them from someone else, a slave, okay? And so that is your property. You bought that person is your property. And so if that slave is not doing what you want him to do, and you decide to punish him, and you punish him by beating, and you get carried away with the beating, is what it boils down to, then if you kill that slave, then if you kill him from the beating, then you're to be punished. Okay? But if he lives a day or two and then dies, then the master of the slave is not to be punished. You don't talk to me about what's fair and what's not fair. This is God's law, and God's smarter than you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's just get that settled right now. And so don't second guess God. By killing his servant, he just lost his money. You understand? He bought this person. This is his property. And so now he's lost his property, plus the future services that he would gain from this slave. So he's punishing himself.
Is If men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pass as the judges determine. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe.
So if men got into an argument and injured a pregnant woman and causing her to give birth prematurely, then the child and the mother recovered. Then the man who caused the injury was to be punished according to the demands of the woman's husband. The judges would decide what the offender had to pay. If the woman or baby received permanent injury afterward, the man who caused the injury was to be punished in accordance to the injury that he caused. And he goes on, life for life. If they die, kill them.
Mm-hmm.
Lose an eye, put an eye out. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. Make sure that he gets a commensurate punishment. Okay? This is the law. Now, when you get into the New Testament, Jesus said, you've heard it said, but I say, we're under grace, not under law. But this is the governing constitution of this nation. There had to be laws set for the lawless, for the criminal. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
And so that would be severe punishment. You did this, then this is what will happen. You bring false witness in a court, then you incur what you wanted that man to get. Deterrent to crime and lying and all the other stuff if it's enforced. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
We could pretty much empty the prison system today by enforcing laws. Might break a lot of attorneys, but you know, we could help the nation.
And if a man smite the eye of his servant or the eye of his maid, that it perish, he shall let him go free for his eye's sake.
So if a man who owns a slave, he hits that slave and he injures the eye and causes that person, that slave to lose his eye, then the slaves to be set free. You just lost your property. Now what this does, it's a deterrent in losing your temper.
Mm-hmm.
And if a person was to be punished, then make sure that the person's punished for the wrongdoing, not out of anger, to where you're causing permanent injury to the person, because ultimately you're going to suffer the loss.
And if he smite out his manservant's tooth or his maidservant's tooth, he shall let him go free for his tooth's sake.
So you knock his tooth out, you have to liberate him. Not a bad law, you understand?
Mm-hmm. If an ox gore a man or a woman that they die, then the ox shall be surely stoned, and his flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall be quit.
And so if an ox gore a man or a woman to death, then kill the ox and don't eat him.
Yeah.
That's the law, okay?
But if
the owner of the ox would be declared innocent. However, if that ox had previously shown tendencies of violent behavior, that owner had been warned about that ox and didn't keep him put up, then put the ox and the owner to death. Yeah. Make you watch after the animal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In verse 30, if there be laid on him a sum of money, then he shall give for the ransom of his life whatsoever is laid upon him.
So if that guy said, listen, I'll pay you not to die, then a certain amount of money could be imposed on the owner of the ox and he could redeem his life. And that same judgment applied to both the son or daughter. In other words, not only a man or woman, if he killed a man's son or a man's daughter or whatever, the same thing applied.
Mm-hmm.
Same law. God didn't use double standard laws. Okay? God still abides by his word. He doesn't have one word for him and one word for you. He abides by his own word, by his own truth. Okay?
Verse 32, if the ox shall push a manservant or a maidservant, he shall give unto their master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be
stoned. So if that ox is killing a male servant or a female servant, then he has to pay the price of the slave. And in this particular case, he says 30 shekels of silver, and the ox was to be killed.
Mm-hmm.
Better train the animal.
And if a man shall open a pit, or if a man shall dig a pit and not cover it, and an ox or an ass fall therein, the owner of the pit shall make it good and give money unto the owner of them, and the dead beast shall be his.
So if a man digs this open pit, he doesn't cover it up, big hole, okay, and an animal like an ox or a donkey falls into it, then the owner of the pit's liable. He had to pay the one who owned the animal for the dead animal, but he could keep the dead animal.
Okay.
Why would he want a dead animal? Well, you get the hide off of it, okay? There's things that he could do with that dead animal. You understand that,
mm-hmm.
right? Okay.
Mm-hmm. And if one man's ox hurt another's, that he die, then they shall sell the live ox and divide the money of it, and the dead ox also they shall divide. Or if it be known that the ox hath used to push in time past, and his owner hath not kept him in, he shall surely pay ox for ox, and the dead shall be his own.
So if one man's ox killed another man's ox, then they were to sell the live ox and divide the money. And then they were also to divide the dead animal. But if that ox had previously had a history of showing violent behavior, then the owner had been warned, then the ox, the owner would have to pay for the dead ox, and the dead ox would be retained by the owner. He had to pay for what his ox did, but he could keep that animal. These are real basic things. But it was for the need of the day. You understand? Because that was a common thing. They're using oxen, they're farming, they're doing this. And so they had to have laws that would govern that particular lifestyle. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
And so we have laws today to govern our lifestyle. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But God had these basics covered. And if we'll follow the principles of what God's law is in a land, then the land is going to be a safe place to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be a good place to be. But when you let everybody do what's right in their own eyes and just get by with that, then it's a horrible place to be. You don't even want to walk out your door. You're not safe. And so God had to institute laws. There has to be laws. And if you read the 13th chapter of Romans, it says that the authorities that exist are ordained by God. God sets them. Your police officers, for instance, who enforce the law, are to enforce the law. That is a God-ordained authority. But today, God-ordained authority is being ignored or ridiculed or whatever, and you see the consequence of it. Leave the criminal alone, let him do what he wants to do. No, when you violate God's ordained authority, you're violating God. And actually, if you go on and read that, he says he wears not the sword in vain. But he's given not for the righteous, but for the lawless. And so a police officer is no threat, or should not be, unless he's a criminal. He should not be a threat to a law-abiding citizen. But he definitely is a threat to a citizen who's not abiding by the law. And so if you have a problem with authority, then you have a problem internally. And your problem's with God, and your problem's with sin. And you're probably doing something you shouldn't be doing. What? You walk by a police officer, shouldn't bother you at all. But what if you just committed a crime? Well, you're all fidgeting it all over us now, you know. Why? Your heart's condemning you. So laws are not bad. They're just not designed to govern the righteous people. They're designed to keep, to suppress criminal activity. They're actually given to protect the citizen. Okay? And these are basic laws. I mean, he gets right down to Yama.
As we continue in chapter 22, I think what you'll see, and one of the things that really stood out to me, is the accountability that we have for ourselves and for how we treat others and how we treat others' property. And that's missing today. But chapter 22 records the punishment for a thief, the punishment of a man who has sexual relations with a virgin out of wedlock, the punishment of a sorcerer, the punishment of one who has sexual relations with an animal, the punishment of one who sacrifices to another god, warning against the mistreatment of foreigners, widows, and orphans, procedures for loaning money, warning against speaking against God or a leader, warning against delaying to give God that which is his, and warning against eating an animal that has been killed by another animal. Very specific.
Here again, we just have a continuation of basic laws that govern, even down to loaning money. God knows about money. He knows how things should run, okay?
Verse 1. If a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep.
And actually, if you're looking at this in the Hebrew, if he steals an ox or a sheep or goat, it's actually talking about herd or flock. And so herd would be, you know, the ox, the sheep or goat would be from the flock. And he slaughters one of them, or what he stole, and then he has to restore 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep or goats for a sheep or goat. Now, don't ask me why 5 and 4. I don't know, and you don't know either. But the ox was more valuable than the goat and the sheep, okay, monetarily.
You imagine what would happen today if somebody was caught stealing a car And not only did they'd have to restore it twofold, threefold. Boy, that, imagine how things would change. All right. If a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. If the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him, for he should make full restitution. If he have nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft.
So, if a burglar is caught and killed while he's stealing during the night, that's an important phrase.
Yeah.
Then, no blood was shed for him. Okay? I mean, he risked his life, all right, and lost. But, if he's caught and killed during the day, then blood would be required for his death. And if the burglar was caught not killed, then he was required to restore that which he had stolen. He had to make full restitution, and if he couldn't pay the full amount, then he's to be sold as a slave. And you understand, he has to make the full restitution. The way the thing works today, people can go sin, go steal you blind with no consequence. And so the righteous person becomes the victim. You're victimized. They catch the thief, but they don't make the thief do anything as far as restitution goes. God had that covered. You catch him and you make him pay in full. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We'd do well to follow God's laws.
Mm. If the theft be certainly found in his hand alive, whether it be an ox or ass or sheep, he shall restore double.
So he's got to give back two for one. I like that. One car stolen, you got to give two back.
Man, that's rough.
You can relate to that, right?
Yeah.
Well, this is what he's saying here, only he's doing it with animals, that whether it's an ox, donkey, sheep, goat, you have to give back two for the one you stole.
If a man shall cause a field or vineyard to be eaten, and shall put in his beast, and shall feed in another man's field, of the best of his own field, and of the best of his own vineyard, shall he make restitution.
If you let your animal get out in somebody's field or their vineyard, and they're eating, then you've got to give the best you have for that, of your crop or your vineyard, to the one that's been violated. Is this, you understand that these laws are not putting money into the court. They're making restitution and giving it back to the person who was actually damaged.
Mm-hmm. If fire breaks out and catch in thorns, so that the stacks of corn or the standing corn or the field be consumed therewith, he that kindled the fire shall surely make restitution.
So if someone starts a fire and it gets over and it burns up the crop, then you've got to make full restitution for it. You caused it, then you have to pay for it.
If a man shall deliver unto his neighbor money or stuff to keep, and it be stolen out of the man's house, if the thief be found, let him pay double. If the thief be not found, then the master of the house shall be brought unto the judges to see whether he have put his hand unto his neighbor's goods.
Now this is interesting. In other words, someone gives you money or an item to keep for them, okay? And they get stolen from your house. If the thief's found, he has to pay double for what he's stolen. But if the thief's not found, then you have to go before the court. You have to go before the judge and to determine whether or not you stole that money or if you stole that item that was entrusted to you for safekeeping. Now, what will that do? That'll make you pay attention to what you're supposed to be protecting.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to cost you if you know.
Yeah. For all manner of trespass, whether it be for ox, for ass, for sheep, for raiment, or for any manner of lost thing which another challengeth to be his, the cause of those parties shall come before the judges, and whom the judges shall condemn, he shall pay double unto his neighbor.
So if someone has had another person to keep a donkey, ox, sheep, goat, any other animal, and it was injured or died or was stolen, and there are no witnesses, then the one who had been trusted with the animal would swear by the Lord to the owner of the animal that he had not harmed, killed, or stolen the animal. If the animal was stolen, the man entrusted with the animal had to make restitution to his owner. And I'm going to tell you, it's a serious thing to swear before God. It's not like it is today.
Mm-hmm.
You swear before God that you did not do that to that man. Okay? And God's the witness now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
If a man deliver unto his neighbor an ass or an ox or a sheep or any beast to keep, and it die or be hurt or driven away, no man seeing it, then shall an oath of the Lord be between them both, that he hath not put his hand unto his neighbor's goods, and the owner of it shall accept thereof, and he shall not make it good.
You know something I failed to mention a while ago was if that animal was stolen and it was in your safekeeping, then you had to make restitution to the owner. If the thief's not found, then you're responsible for it, okay? And if this animal's torn in pieces, I better stop here. Our time's up, then we'll pick back up there with the what verse is that? 13. Okay?